Hello and welcome to the Motivation for Regular People podcast. People tend to think about motivation as something that some people have and others don't. The truth is that we all have the same amount of motivation because motivation plays a role in every decision that we make and every action we take. This means that you already have all the motivation you need to accomplish your goals. The only thing standing in your way is a deeper awareness of how motivation actually works and what truly motivates you. I hope this podcast helps you discover and utilize the motivation you've always had inside you. Now, let's get started. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Motivation for Regular People podcast. Today, we are continuing our It's Up to You series, where we've spent the past several weeks talking about how to develop the best approach to both the things in life that we can control, as well as the things in life that we can't control. And as a reminder, choosing the right attitude and response to the things in life that we cannot control is so crucial because of how it impacts not only our present day reality, but also our future trajectory and development. This week, we're talking about how we can't always control timing. And as I think about this one, I can't help but think about a random event that happened in my life almost 10 years ago. This was not a formative moment by any means. This was not something that I think about often. But for some reason, as I was thinking about our inability to control timing, this story popped into my head. So if you know me personally, or if you follow me on social media, you know that I'm a big Oklahoma City Thunder fan. I've lived most of my life in Oklahoma City. I was in high school when the Thunder first came to Oklahoma in 2008. And to tell you the truth, I haven't always been a huge NBA fan, but I did grow up loving professional sports, and I remember being in awe initially at the thought of my hometown having its own professional sports franchise. And here in Oklahoma City, we were especially lucky because our team got so good so quickly. I'll be honest, that first year was rough, but before long, we were one of the best teams in the NBA. We had multiple All-Stars, and we were making Western Conference Finals and even the NBA Finals after only being in Oklahoma City for a few seasons. So it was around that time when the Thunder had been in Oklahoma City maybe 5 or 6 years, and I don't remember the specific year, but I walked into a local fast casual Mexican food chain one weeknight with my brother and sister, and when we got inside, we saw Kendrick Perkins, the former Thunder center and current ESPN NBA analyst, in line ahead of us. So immediately we're starstruck. Kendrick Perkins is 7 feet tall. He is a bigger dude, and so he is impossible to miss. And because we followed the team, we recognized his face immediately as well. So if that wasn't all cool enough, we were also able to gather from the conversation happening in front of us that Perk had just bought dinner for everyone else in the restaurant. It was an awesome gesture, but unfortunately for us, we had walked in a few seconds too late. If we had been there maybe 30 seconds before, we would have gotten our meal comped, but because of when we came in, we didn't get our meal bought for us. So again, in the grand scheme of things, this isn't a huge deal. Sure, as a poor college student who was known for paying for fast food with handfuls of change, it was definitely a downer in the moment. However, it didn't impact or change things for me at all in the long run. That said, this story does come to mind when I think about our inability to control timing. So before we get too much further, let's talk about what timing is. It's kind of funny. If you look up the definition of timing in the dictionary, you will see two very distinct definitions. And to me, they are distinct because the first definition signifies the control that we have when it comes to timing. And then there's another definition that describes our complete lack of control in regards to timing. So I'm going to read you both definitions. Here's the first definition of timing. It says the choice, judgment, or control of when something should be done. So to me, this first type of timing has to do with the level of tact or discernment we have when we bring up certain topics, when we make certain choices or pursue certain actions. So for example, when you are preparing for a difficult conversation, regardless of the topic, timing matters because of how you want that message to be received and what the desired outcome of that conversation is. In the same way, when you're planning for an event, timing matters because you'd want the event to be accessible for as many people as possible, or accessible for the people who you would like to be a part of that event. If I'm planning a get-together with family and friends, I'm not going to plan it at 5 a.m., even though I might be awake at that time on most days. Because timing matters, I want to plan that get-together or that event for a time that is more convenient for everyone else involved. So that's one definition of timing. The other definition of timing, which to me is kind of the opposite of that first definition, is a particular point or period in time when something happens. So if the first definition talked about the way that we control timing, this definition talks about the type of timing that we have no control over. This is the timing of Kendrick Perkins showing up at Freebird and buying everyone else's dinner right before my siblings and I walked in. This is the kind of timing where we're faced with an unexpected challenge that we didn't ask for or desire. It's the point in time when the status quo of our lives is completely disrupted with no prior warning. And this one's especially funny to think about because I am recording this on March 11th, and 4 years ago today was, in many people's minds, the original onset of the COVID-19 pandemic in the United States. We're already talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder, so I will tell you that 4 years ago today, I was at a Thunder game that was postponed because one of the Utah Jazz players tested positive for COVID, and that's when the NBA shut down. That's when the president instituted a travel ban, and for many people, that is when the quarantine, the stay-at-home orders first started coming about. And what a perfect example of something that happened in regards to timing that none of us had any control over. So anyways, while we cannot control the timing of various events in life, there is something that we can control, and it's the degree at which we prepare for the unexpected. By the way, I think we need this mentality as we talk about everything in life that we don't control. It's easy to look at something outside our control and be irritated about it or worry about it. It is far more difficult to think critically about these things in order to identify the related aspects or elements that we can somehow influence and commit to taking those things seriously. It requires a higher degree of responsibility and agency, but it's a mentality that I find far more beneficial and far more empowering, and I think you will have a similar experience. So the idea here, before we get into this specific topic of how we prepare, is the thought that if you look at something that you cannot control and look at it with a more critical and more opportunistic mindset, rather than simply being frustrated about what you cannot directly influence, you will often see clues or hints about what element of that you can somehow direct or somehow impact. And that's exactly what happens here. So we can't control timing, but we can control our degree of preparation. So what do we do with this information? I'm going to share 4 ways that you can better prepare for the unexpected events and the sometimes random timing at which these events will occur in your life. So the first thing that we are going to do, we are going to choose positivity. This first point, as well as the second point that I'm about to share with you, both come from one of my favorite leadership books. It's called How to Lead When You're Not in Charge by Clay Scroggins. Clay makes the point throughout this book that leadership is less about power and authority and more about influence. And that's great news for those of us who are not the CEO in our organization or the owner of our own business, because this teaching reminds us that we can have influence regardless of our experience, regardless of our organizational position, and regardless of how many people answer or report to us. So anyways, choosing positivity is key because of how it affects our attitude regardless of whatever life is throwing at us. If you can approach life, even the most difficult days, with a positive mindset, you will be able to build the determination and build the resilience to keep moving forward. However, it is possible to overdo positivity, and that's why I believe that talking about choosing positivity is hard to fully explain without also making this next point. So, in order to best prepare for the unexpected, we want to choose positivity. We also want to learn how to think critically. The problem if we just choose positivity is that we sometimes fail to think critically and realistically about what is happening in our lives. If we trend too far in the direction of positivity, it can become easy to become overly idealistic and ignore real life problems. For the record, I think this is what people are talking about when they talk about toxic positivity. There is a point where you can become overly positive and where positivity can be more destructive than it actually is helpful. Developing the ability to think critically can be a great way to counter that sort of positivity that is not actually beneficial. Now, of course, we want to think positively. We want to believe the best about others, and we want to see the good in the world around us, both the good that currently exists as well as the potential good that could possibly exist. However, we don't want to turn a blind eye to the real obstacles and challenges that exist around us as well. This prohibits us from being able to solve problems and improve our situations as well as the situations of others. If we are able to think critically while also choosing positivity, we will be able to be more honest and realistic about what is currently going wrong or what could potentially go wrong. This is so crucial to preparation because of how it enables us to be more proactive and anticipate problems before they come up. As you can imagine, if we trend too hard in the direction of thinking critically without also bringing positivity with us, we will risk becoming overly cynical, and that's also not a helpful place to be. We want to be prepared for whatever the worst possible outcome is, but we also want to maintain this belief that tomorrow can be better than today. It's certainly a tension to balance, but living well in this tension, in my opinion, will enable us to maintain this optimistic and opportunistic mindset without living in a way that's totally out of touch with reality. So, we want to choose positivity, we want to think critically, we also want to commit to continuous improvement. So, past podcast listeners will know I'm training for a marathon right now, and I think the key word there is I am training. I have not run the full marathon yet, I have not run the entire distance yet, but I am preparing for this race, and that is so important because nobody shows up for a marathon and is able to successfully complete one if they haven't ever run a long distance before. It's funny, the more I do long distance races like marathons and triathlons, the more I realize how fitting a metaphor they are for life. Of course, the major difference here is I know the marathon is coming. I have the date marked on my calendar. I know exactly how much time I have left to get ready. And in life, we don't always have that luxury. We don't always know when we will need to be ready, but we know that the possibility always exists that something challenging or taxing might be just around the corner. Again, we don't control timing, so what can we do? We can commit to training. We can invest in continuous improvement because we know that who we are today is not all that we can be tomorrow. And with this in mind, we are willing to take the steps necessary to stretch and grow ourselves. Obviously, perfection is not the standard here because we often don't know what situations will require of us until we are in the midst of them. However, we also know that the work we do on ourselves today will better prepare us to face whatever tomorrow happens to hold. So we choose positivity, we think critically, we commit to continuous improvement, and then finally, we look for opportunities to express gratitude. You're probably wondering what gratitude has to do with preparation. The way I see it, when we commit to regularly expressing gratitude, we are reinforcing the internal belief that things are often working out in our favor. Obviously, that is not true 100% of the time, but I think that it does happen more often than we realize, and expressing gratitude can be a great way to get our brains more in tune with when these things are happening so that we will develop that more positive, that more opportunistic outlook on life in a way that can really work in our favor. To say that we can't control timing is similar to saying that we can't control circumstances. I would assume that most people would agree with that. And what that means is that sometimes circumstances are going to work out in a way that doesn't benefit us. For example, sometimes you're going to be a half second late and miss out on a free meal, like I was that night 10 years ago when I ran into Kendrick Perkins. Again, I realize that there are far worse problems that exist in the world, and that is only meant to be an example, but hopefully it proves the point. Sometimes timing will not work out in our favor, but we can also safely assume that there will be examples of times when circumstances do work out in a way that somehow benefit us. And when this happens, some people will call it luck, some people will call it good fortune, but it's not something that we reject or apologize for, because we know that it happens to everyone, and we know that we appreciate and value these experiences in the moment. So when these things happen, we can choose to ignore them, or we can express gratitude, knowing that if we choose to express gratitude, not only will we appreciate those events more as they happen, but we will also build this belief that sometimes life is not something that we can fully control, and sometimes that lack of control will work out in our favor. So anyways, to recap, we want to do four things in order to prepare for the situations when timing may happen in a way that is outside of our control and in a way that can be dangerous or challenging for us. We want to choose positivity. We want to choose to see the best in ourselves, in others, and in the world around us. We want to choose to believe that tomorrow can somehow be better than today. At the same time, we also want to think critically. We want to appreciate, acknowledge, and understand that problems do exist, that obstacles can be challenging, and we want to balance this positivity that we bring to the table with this ability to look at situations not in an idealistic manner, but for what they actually are. We want to commit to continual improvement, because we know that the way we train today enhances our ability to perform tomorrow. And while we don't know what tomorrow holds, we do know that what we do today can better prepare us for what we might face tomorrow. Finally, we're going to express gratitude, because we know that sometimes life doesn't work out in our favor, but oftentimes it does, and we want to acknowledge and show appreciation for those moments in a way that builds this internal belief that we have that things often are working out in our favor. I'll leave you with one final story. So Peyton Manning is a two-time Super Bowl winner. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Perhaps you've seen him on Monday Night Football recently, or on Peyton's Places on ESPN. So Peyton Manning's first Super Bowl victory came in 2007. I believe it was Super Bowl 41 against the Chicago Bears. And this was the first Super Bowl on record where rain played a major factor in the game. And if you look at the box score, you can tell how much the rain impacted each team's play. Both quarterbacks had multiple turnovers, but Rex Grossman, the quarterback for the Bears, lost two fumbles and threw two interceptions, while Peyton Manning only lost one fumble and threw one interception. You could argue that Peyton Manning was the better quarterback than Rex Grossman. The trajectory of their careers certainly seems to support that. But there was another secret that contributed to Peyton Manning's success in this situation, and it was his preparation. What a lot of people don't know is that Peyton Manning, throughout the season prior, would occasionally have his center, Hall of Famer Jeff Saturday, toss him rain-soaked footballs so that he could be ready for that situation when the weather, when the circumstances weren't ideal. It just so happened that that time that he needed to be ready for adverse weather was the biggest game of his life up to that point. Again, you can't control timing, but you can control how you prepare, and sometimes that level of preparation can make all the difference. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode. I know this was a little longer than some of the other episodes we've been recording in this series, but I hope that it was a good use of your time. I hope that you will share this episode with somebody else who may find the content valuable if you found it helpful as well, and go ahead and subscribe to the show, leave us a rating and a review if you haven't done so yet. I'll be back with more next week. Remember, you already have all the motivation you need to accomplish your goals, and it's up to you to decide what you'll do with it. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. Recently, I was feeling overwhelmed with all of the responsibilities I was juggling in my work and personal life. I signed up for BetterHelp and scheduled my first online therapy session. To be honest, I was a little nervous about meeting with a therapist online, but I was matched with a great therapist who offered me a fantastic experience. She helped me tremendously in our first session, and I noticed an instant difference in my mental health. BetterHelp is the world's largest therapy service, and it's 100% online. With BetterHelp, you can tap into a network of over 30,000 licensed and experienced therapists who can help you with a wide range of issues. To get started, you just answer a few questions about your needs and preferences in therapy. That way, BetterHelp can match you with the right therapist from their network. Then you can talk to your therapist however you feel comfortable, whether it's via text, chat, phone, or video call. You can also message your therapist at any time and schedule live sessions whenever it's convenient for you. If you're matched with a therapist who isn't the right fit for any reason, you can switch to a new therapist at no additional charge. With BetterHelp, you get the same professionalism and quality you expect from in-office therapy, but with a therapist who is custom-picked for you, you also get more scheduling flexibility and a more affordable price, especially when you get 10% off your first month by signing up at betterhelp.com/MFRP. That's betterhelp.com/MFRP. Check it out and sign up today.